Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. This morning, I want to go into something that has been going through my mind for a while. I don't know whether I'll have enough time to do justice to it. It's very unlikely I will do justice to it, because while I was doing the research, scriptures were just jumping out, and were just jumping out. So I don't have enough time to say I want to take each scripture and really, you know, explain it. Now, I want to speak to us. Now, many of you may know that in Christianity, our lives are basically divided into two. There's what we call the secular, right? And there's what we call the spiritual. Praise God. And I don't know why that was so, because I've come to realize that God did not separate our lives into the secular and the spiritual. Do you follow me? As far as God is concerned, you're supposed to have one consistent life, not two kinds of life. Amen. And so, by reason of what we all grew up to meet, your life in church is spiritual. And anything that has to do with the faith is spiritual. Praise the Lord. But the other thing that does not have to do with the church, I said, don't touch that dial again. The volume went off while I was speaking. Don't touch it again. It's simply, it has gone down again. Somebody is disobeying orders there. Just leave the audio. All of you come out. All of you just come out. Bro, Damiloju, bro, you're me, all of you just come out. Come out. I'm waiting. Church is waiting for you. Can you please put your hands together for them? I appreciate you. Come out. Close the door. The angel of God will take care of the rest. Somebody has been locked inside. Yahoo Pastor, they lock. I'm sorry for you. Pastor, deal with them. Buy your love, you come out. Praise God. Referral, you too. Close the door. Lest you sleep back in while men are asleep. Praise God. I don't like the way you are. Suddenly, just come and sit down. I joke. Appreciate your joke. Just sit down. Their hearts will not leave that place. Oh, yeah, come and sit in the midst of the church. Just come and sit. Prophet Mia, you are looking at them. Rush them to go and sit. God bless you. The world will not break. No, go back. Don't go anywhere. Go and sit down. Have faith in God. Sit in front of Bro Bayo. Sit there. I want only problem. Praise God. See, you get to a point when you're involved in this kind of things that you are restless. When you're in church, you are restless. The message they will not hear. Please give me more time. It's taking a, give me more time. Praise God. So, our life ought to be one whole thing that is supposed to be spiritual. It's not supposed to be when you are in church, you have another, don't worry, we'll manage. When you're in church, you have one kind of life. Once you step out of the church, you are another person entirely. You are not supposed to be that kind of person. But this morning, I want to just look at what we call our walk. I want to let you see how important the choice of walk and how God takes your walk, what people call the circular, very, very seriously. Praise the Lord. There is a sabotage. So you are going to correct it. Only one person should go and come back. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Genesis 2:15. I hope I can finish. If I don't finish, maybe I'll continue next week. Maybe. I'll see how it goes. And the Lord God, see what I said? I see what I've said? Pastor Bello is coming to meet you. My hand is not there. And the Lord God took man, and what did he do to him? Put him in where? In the Garden of Eden. To do what? To dress it and to keep it. Listen to me. When man was created, of course the Bible said that God created him for fellowship and all that, but primarily what was he created to do? Was created to walk. Praise God. Man was made to walk. That is primary nature of man. He was put in the garden to dress it and to do what? To keep it. So if anyone gives you the impression that walk is not necessary or is not very important, the person needs to go and read this. Amen. Now, why am I saying this? You will see as we go on in the word of the Lord. Now, the Bible said in Genesis 8:21, God, Noah had come out of the ark, and he had offered to God a burnt offering. And the Bible says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of his heart, is this where I ask you to read? 22. For the majority of his man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more anything living as I have done. Verse 22. While the earth does what? Remaineth. You will have seed time. And you will have what? Harvest. It's a circle. There are seasons. Praise God. And you will have cold and you have heat. You will have summer and you will have winter. You will have day and night. It will not cease. As long as the earth remains, there must be activities going on earth. Praise God. So he mentioned seed time. What do you do with seed time? That is a time for you to go into your field and sow. Praise God. Because that's very, very critical to the life of a man. Because you take that out of a man's life, his life is meaningless. Completely meaningless. And not only is this so, I heard of a story, and I've shared with us before, of how the Germans conducted an experiment. The experiment was that they found that they could not break the spirit of the Jews in the concentration camp. No matter how much they made them to labor, those guys just will not break. Praise God. They gave them all kinds of tasks. They did not break. So one man, he had a Luciferian wisdom. Satan downloaded this wisdom down for him. And he said, this is what I will do for them. So he told them to go to one side of the camp. They dug a very, very big hole and carried the dead to one end of the camp. Praise God. It was very, very painful. But they did not mind. The following morning, when they woke up, they said, carry the sand and dump it back where you took it. The following day, remove it again. After a few days, those guys ran mad. What has happened? They ran mad. You know why they ran mad? Because the job they were doing was meaningless. That had no meaning. You were created to have a meaningful work. The work you do on earth must have meaning. Once it loses meaning for you, you will find that you will begin to depreciate. That's why you cannot and you should not do what they give you. You don't love teaching. Why are you there? Because you will find that these are variables that people don't know contribute to the overall health. When you do a work that is meaningful, you will be happy. Even if it's not paying, you will be happy. One day, I know Pastor Dale was not there. One policeman said, "Oh, guy, you are going to work late." That time we had the job was meaningless. We are going to work, there's no salary. We just go where we want to go and come back where we want to come back. Amen. And the guy said, you are going, it's even outside. We kept quiet. So in the afternoon, when we're coming back, I now slow down. I said, "Sarge, well done." Said, "If I'm making money like you're making money here, me too, I'll arrive here at 5 a.m. Because you ask yourself, "Why will Mopo stand on the road for a whole day?" You think he likes it? But he's enjoying it because he's making money. You don't know. You have no idea what those guys are making at checkpoints. You have no clue. I was given a clue one day. One Korofo Mopo. Korofo like nothing there. Say you understand? I picked him from Akure and dropped him in Akumba. I was going to Ikare. Now we started talking. And we're talking about Idero. And the one before, Balogun. Is it Tafa? And he said he loved Tafa Balogun. Ha. Tafa that chopped your money, chopped your salary, chopped your allowance. He said, "We love him." Ha. I said, "Something's not right here. Can you explain?" He said Tafa allowed them, gave them full right to stay at roadblock. He didn't disturb them. And he there was giving them problems. I said, "Tell me." He said, "This mommy, when I get to road checkpoint, one checkpoint, 6 a.m. and I leave by 9 a.m. Says, "Sir, I take 1,500 naira home." So 1,500 naira. Please don't have calculator. If it does that for 30 days, how much is it taking home? Sir? 50? 45. For a Korofo? To my North Lorry? Eh? It's more than his salary at that time. He said that is 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. So guys, if I stay for a whole day, how much do you think I'll take home? More than the one I'm paying, they are paying me. Do you understand me? Then I ask them, why don't I join this people too? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Because for as far as it's concerned, the reason why he's working is to earn a salary. And if he can make his needs, it makes sense to him. Praise God. So for us, you must ask yourself, your work on earth is as, it can decide whether you go, it can decide your eternal destiny on, it does have an effect on your eternal destiny. There are certain jobs you cannot do. You cannot be a prostitute for a living. You cannot be an armed robber. We're watching, channels also? Was it channels or residency? Ogun State, also Ogun State or your state. They caught some boys, tinted his hair and everything. They say they caught this, there is Ogun State. Kidnappers. The boys are not a kidnapper, I'm just a Yahoo Yahoo boy. So what's the difference between kidnapping and Yahoo Yahoo? Are they not caught the same? A person, you carry somebody, and he said, "Go and bring 20 million. All the money he has saved, he has to come and give to you. And the man who is a Yahoo Yahoo, put the price of the same 20 million, are they not the same boat, as they will say? Do you understand me? And you think that God will look at him and say, "Thou art well done, my faithful servant." No. So the work of your hands is very important. You must pay attention to it. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed and harvest time will not cease. Now look at Deuteronomy 5:13. Deuteronomy 5 from 13 to 15. It says this: 6 days thou shalt labor. Now, why is God concerned about giving us specifics? Because it's very, very important. Give me I have asked for something. You are still sitting there looking at me. I said, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 13. I'll read. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that the manservant and the maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Amen. Why was this instruction grave? Why did it come with a death penalty if it was not important? Praise the Lord. Because if you break the Sabbath, it came with a death penalty. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it was the Gentiles that introduced 5 working days. Gentile nations introduced 5 working days. God said 6 days you will work. On the seventh, rest. Praise God. Why is it that, apart from those who are in ministry that steal money, shall you notice that those who are in private business, who work on Saturdays, are eventually richer than those of us that work 5 days in a week? It's just a thought for you to process. On Saturdays, we just loaf around. We add no value to our lives. But God said, 6 days you will work. Everybody rests on the seventh. Because the Bible says that was the pattern that God established in Genesis. 6 days he worked. On the seventh he rested. Praise God. So he expects that you and I must work. We have to work. Now, maybe why I'm saying this is because a young man came visiting us many years ago. And he said he was a friend of the twins. And I said, fine. And he had met me at Believers Convention. I don't know how many people I meet. I don't even pay attention. Except there is a reason why I have to pay attention to you. So he said he wants to just come to my fellowship. Fine, stay around. And after a week, he was not going back. I kept quiet. Then the following week started. I said, bros, you don't have work. I'll be at your leave. He said, no, he has resigned. Really, you resigned. May I ask, may I know why you resigned? Said I resigned so that I can seek God. Oh. You want to seek God. So how do you feed? Say my bread, the brethren feed me. So the brethren who feed you don't know how to seek God, or they don't want to seek God. So it is you that should be the one seeking God. Say my friend, by the time I come back, I don't want to see your shadow. That was the last I saw of it. Irresponsible Christianity. I don't know who gave them that kind of revelation. Your Christianity is meaningless if you don't have something you are using your life to do. Are you with me? The wisdom of God is that while you are engaged in a meaningful vocation in life, you are also here doing service for God. It's a balance. Do you understand me? It will be what? A balance. But more often than not, like most of us when we're in higher institutions, we gave more attention to academics than following God. You remember? Somebody say, I came to read. When you used to close the fellowship there? 8:30 p.m. They're carrying their bag. They're walking out. Their contract with God is 8:30. Are you with me? Then there were these other ones too, who had no time to read. They were following God. I don't really understand me. They were following God. And many were their failures. Then there was this third group that was in the minority who could handle the two together. Reason is that when you graduate, you will be required to handle the two together. One, you cannot bend on one at the expense of the other. Your life will not be balanced. You need to live a balanced life. Because you need to be fruitful in that area of your life and also be fruitful in the other area of your life. Now, we quote this man so much. Abraham. You say Abraham was rich in cattle. You think Abraham went to speak tongues over those cattle? Hello? How many of you have seen cattle before? Okay, you see them here now. You see how they... You think it's... How many of you can try it for one day? You'll be directing cattle through jungle and through bush. You just do it for one day. And see how it was easy for Abraham to have those number of cattle. Oh, you said he employed people, right? Praise God. He did not pay them, have you? Where got he money? KJV English. He went to steal it. No. It's called industry. That was his vocation. And I know from experience that when you don't supervise your workers, they will mess you up. So you have to be sure. Even on site, I've been pastor. When you have a construction going on, somebody must be on site. Otherwise, those guys will mess you up. You have to be there. So you don't think that Abraham was just there every day. He was just reading Bible. That was what he was doing. He didn't go to office. His office was his field, his cattle. So he has to go there and check every cattle, make sure they were doing well. That God blessed him did not mean that man was not, anytime he wakes up, he was always, that was where he was resuming at. You think he was speaking in tongues alone? No, it goes beyond that. You must walk. My time is running. I have so much to say. So let me jump. Let me just... Amen. But now, there is something I want to say. Isaiah 2:8. This was what God was saying to the Israelites. Now, they got to a point where, like I said, they paid more attention to their business, to their work, to their vocation, than they paid to serving the Lord. They are both the same. Your sacrifices and even your work is also part of your spiritual service. Are you with me, church? I said it's part of it. Do you understand me? So what was the problem with Israel? Isaiah 2:8. The Lord said, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. It's easy for you to fall into that trap. Why you pay so much attention to your work, and that is what gives you pride. I don't know whether you understand me. So when you just come around and say, Professor, can we know you? I'm the CEO. I'm the CEO. Praise God. You can see pride talking. I'm the CEO of Microsoft. Hallelujah. So, any sir, the Lord, it was the Lord that did it. We know that pride just spoke. Amen. You have to come to a place of learning balance. They said Job was the richest man in the East. I don't know. But probably if you meet Job, you will not know he's the richest man in the East. You probably will not know because there was nothing like... There was no air of arrogance around him. Amen. But some of us, if you are the CEO, there will be one convoy of Mopo in front, another five convoy of Mopo at the back. And then you are surrounded by army, Nigerian army. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. They began to worship the work of their hands. They took pride in it. Now, that does not mean that you must be slothful in business. Amen. That does not mean that you should not desire to be successful. Don't misunderstand me. That's not the issue. The issue is that they began to take pride. That became their definition. That defined them. Amen. So some of us, we are the pride of life. They say, what secondary school did you go to? I went to KC. You know that KC? How many know what KC means? Many of you don't know. You went to Omolurubu. Can't know. Hallelujah. Pastor Wally was telling me that his vice chancellor was speaking to the Senate. He said, I'm not Omomushi, I'm Omoriscos. I said, many of them in that place don't know what we're talking about. You understand? Amen.
They won't comprehend it.
They didn't get the joke. Don't worry. Don't show it on your face. Hallelujah. Just laugh like everybody's like, those bush boys are. It's okay. Amen. The problem is that you have to find that balance. It's a delicate balance. Amen. Nothing is wrong when you love the work you do. The way you speak about it will let me know that you love it. Amen. And if you really don't love what you are doing, ask yourself questions. Why do I not love this? Some of you may not be wired for what you are doing. Some of you may not have the aptitude for it. You may not even have the love for it. Praise God. At least I know one or few people here who went to study a particular course in school and they never loved the work they did. I came across the story that was on NT, of a lady who studied law. She studied law, but after practicing law for a while, threw it away and started doing, not tailoring. She was doing package shirts. That was her specialty, package shirts. And you know, she's not a fashion designer like many of us. To do package shirts goes beyond fashion designing. That's on that level. Am I indicting some people here? Praise God. And she's okay. The wife of Benga Daniel, she's a fashion designer. Let me know what you girls know. That's what she loves. She's a graduate, I think she graduated from University of Ibadan as an architect. But she's, and all she does is agbada. If you say, sir, come and sew me this kind, she says, I'm not sewing. Praise God. Her specialty is what? It's agbada. Maybe because her husband was rich. Her husband also is also an engineer. All he does, all Benga Daniel, what makes Benga Daniel a rich man is the one in charge. All the lifts in Nigeria, Otis lifts, they're the one that does lifts in Nigeria. Any lift you see in Nigeria, Benga Daniel does it. Tell me how he will not be a multimillionaire. All of you are sewing shirts. Be sewing shirts there. You have to look for something that is unique, that has demand. It's not that you hear they are selling bread. Bread is selling. Okay, how do you sell bread? You won't prosper like that. Am I communicating? You have to find something. Let me take this thought. Then I think I will explain and try and round up. Praise the Lord. Remember in Exodus, Sharon, in that Exodus, when this man, when Moses was told to build what's it called? The ark. Exodus 31 verses 3 and 6. I have no time to read everything, but let's look at this one as I begin to bring everything to a close. Now, listen to me. The spirit of wisdom is a very, very powerful spirit. It's one of the sevenfold spirits of God. Praise God. But they have to, it manifests itself in different ways. Now, you can have wisdom for ministry and not have wisdom for business. You can have wisdom to preach and not have wisdom to run simple things. And so the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, what should he do? Ask. You have to evaluate yourself and find out what it is you really lack. Now the Bible said this. This was God speaking to Moses about this man. Said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Praise God. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, verse 5, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Verse 6. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom. Please listen to me. It was those who were wise. It was not those who were empty. If your heart was empty, wisdom cannot rest. The wisdom rests in the bosom of his that has understanding. David said to Solomon, say, you are a man that is wise-hearted. So when he asked for wisdom, it was easy for wisdom to abide. Even God said to him, you are wise-hearted. How many of you are wise-hearted? You need God to reconfigure your heart. He said, I have given him. And that wisdom enables him to be able to do all kinds of things. To make you excel, you need only a manifestation of that spirit in your life. Amen. Because it is difficult for God to bless the work of your hands if those things are not present. If I multiply 1 million times zero, it should give me a million raised to power. 1 million raised to power, zero is one. it still goes to zero. Say, Lord, bless my hand. Bless the work of my hand. And God will say, where is your hands upon? What have you put your hands upon? Nothing. Many of us, we give tithe. We don't even understand what the tithe means. Can you give me that tithe scripture? I have to jump and finish. Tithe. Malachi chapter 3 now. It's in Malachi. Oh my God. Have they found it? It's there. Chapter 3. Say, will a man rob God? Leave that one. Go to 9. The issue is not the robbing. I'm not emphasizing robbing this morning. 9, you are wasting my time. Leave them. Let them do their will. He says, bring, you are cursed with a curse. No, I'm not going there. Okay, give me 10. Okay, me. Praise God. He says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Please be careful when God uses certain kind of names. I want to beg us, please be careful with the names we use in church. Many of those names we call Elohim, those are covenant names that the Jews they dread when they use it. You usually use those names flippantly. But I thank God that in Christ all those things have found their expression. Praise God. Are you with me? So when you read, when it speaks about the Lord of the hosts, there's a reason why it was so, with respect to tithe. It says, will I not open you the windows, I've said it before, windows of what? Of heaven. Windows is a plural word, right? We have windows. So let's imagine God is there and you guys are outside there. And he said, I will open the windows of heaven. So what do you expect him to do with having opened the windows of heaven? He says, and pour you out. Is that consistent? How can you open windows and pour out just a blessing? It makes grammatical sense for it to be called blessings. Praise God. But he said a blessing. So transferring spiritual value. See, when you bring your tithe, you are transferring value from this realm into that realm. Now the value is called the value of honor. It comes from the labor of your hands. Am I communicating? You have labored. You don't understand. You see, my life can be summarized in 24 hours. The summary of my whole life is what? 24 hours. Inside that 24 hours, I've invested to get something out of that 24 hours. Are you with me? Now, that investment, what I got out of it, am taking a portion to honor God. Honor. I'm transferring honor. Because he doesn't eat the food. In case you don't know, God does not spend the money. But what it takes is the honor. And in the realm of the spirit, it's tangible. Praise God. And when he receives it, there is an auto response in his heart to release a blessing. Am I communicating? Now, when he releases that blessing, amen, he says that there shall not be room enough to receive. What is there not the room to receive? Verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vines cast their fruit before the time in the fields. Saith the Lord of the host. When he releases a blessing, he says that your barns will not be big enough to receive the harvest. He released a blessing, but he's talking about harvest. How does that make sense? The Bible says he giveth seed to the sower. So the blessing comes as a seed. What did I say it comes as? A seed. And that seed can be opportunities. That seed can be labor. It can be connections. It can be business. It can be anything that can bring harvest. That's it. By the time you now take that seed he has given you and you process it, that is where many of us make the mistake. We forget that we need to work on that opportunity, that's something. Sure, you don't understand. I'll give you an example. You remember the patriarch Isaac? God said, Isaac, stay in this land and I will bless you. Amen. The brother Isaac just stayed there and was building an altar and was having night vigil. That's what he did. I said, that's what Isaac did. Answer me now. The Bible did not tell us how Isaac got seed. He had to work it out. One way or the other, God helped him. He got sufficient seed in the days of famine. I want to believe that somebody must have had seed somewhere so to keep. And he didn't know where to sell it. Because everywhere he goes, I have seed. People say, where do we plant? There is no rain. I saw nobody bought. There came this man called Isaac. I heard that you have seed. Said I have seed. How much? He said 5,000 naira. So I don't have too much. I have 3,000. And he purchased the seed. Remember, God didn't come down. I don't know whether you're with me. He said, I will bless you. Said, stay in this land and I will bless you. And the Bible says, and Isaac sowed. Praise God. Isaac sowed. I believe that was Isaac's passion. His father, remember, was more of animal husbandry. Is it animal husbandry or animal husbandry? Yeah. But he was not into animal husbandry. He went from animal husbandry straight to arable. He went to arables. That was his passion. His passion was not in animals. His passion was in arables. Amen. You are not hearing me, no. You are not hearing me. You are hearing me. Are you hearing me at the level you should be hearing me? All right, God bless you. His passion was in arable. But when God said, I will bless you, he didn't sit down there building altars. The man went to work. It was his passion that made him seek for seed. How he got there, I don't know. But he found the seed. And the Bible said, that year, he sowed in the land. He went to get a land. Remember, it's not the father's land. Gerar was not the father's land. He was running to Egypt. Praise God. So he must have made effort to purchase a land. Or lease a land. Whatever way he got land. Huh? But if you have been a farmer, you know that you don't just go to the way, okay, I have seed now. Yeah, boys, everybody come and plant. Nobody does that. You prepare the land. Right? You clear. You harrow. What else do you do? Till, create the rich, and he planted. And God said, I will rebuke the devourer. So whatever would have affected his labor, God kept them at bay. And that year, he had 100-fold. That was the first time I'm going to hear about 100-fold. Even, I don't know whether I used fertilizer, but I'm not sure. Praise God. I don't know whether I used irrigation. I don't know. But whatever way, he put something into the ground. And God blessed it. He had to do something. Praise God. And when the harvest came, his barns had problems. He could not contain the harvest. Because that was God's promise. But at least between the time God spoke and the time the thing entered the barn, there was labor. They were not speaking tongues alone. While you are laboring, you can speak in tongues. It makes sense. Praise God. You are going to the field and I said, laborers, just claim on more. I plant you, you will bring forth harvest. I plant you in the name of Jesus. You bring for harvest. Because this thing is a partnership. Tell your neighbor, it's a partnership. But God wants to bless the labor of your hands. You must put your hands upon something. That's why I said, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back, says not worthy of the kingdom. That illustration was taken from real life. So that tells us that God is interested in what to do with your plow. You don't start plowing and turn back. It's not right. Praise the Lord. My time is up. Let me finish. Isaiah 65:23. Two scriptures and I will go. Isaiah 65:23. Say, they shall not labor in vain. Say amen.
Yes.
Nor bring forth fruit for trouble.
Yes.
For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord.
Yes.
And their offspring with them.
Yes.
That is promise. God does not desire that you will labor in vain. You have not seen labor in vain. Those who have borrowed money to go and plant and put an investment, just come and wreck it. It is labor in vain. Or while you are planting, everything is now growing and suddenly locusts just come and eat them all up. They are labor in vain. Or you have labored and labored and you planted yam. Amen. And suddenly no reinforce. I saw that happen last year. And I got there and I raked and I saw no nothing. That was labor in vain. I just came back. I consoled myself that I'm learning how not to be a farmer. Praise God. But I'm not sure whether I want to play. Judgment in me. But next time you do what they call irrigation. That's why we need prophets. Who will tell us? The drought is coming, you know, like House of Apostles. The drought is coming, you know, prepare. That is why we have Holy Ghost now. Please. I thank you. There are different kinds of prophets. So. There are prophets that say, my children, I love you. That's one of the prophetic. Then there's another prophet like that prophet that said, drought is coming. Prepare. The economic prophet. Amen. We need the economic prophet. I don't know whether God is raising you as an economic prophet. I just said, don't sow yam this year. Then we know what we are doing. Praise God. Am I okay? But you must walk. And God will bless your work.
Amen.
Psalm 144, verse 14. I want to end there. Like I said, I may not be able to finish. There's so many scriptures I can't touch. It says, that our oxen may be strong to labor. That there may be no breaking in or going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. This speaks about people who are satisfied. God has taken care of everything. That your oxen may be strong. They don't fall sick. If you are a processor, your plants don't break down. If you're a taxi driver. One of the most terrible thing for a taxi driver is for a taxi not to work. You move one inch, the car breaks down. You go to mechanics, you spend 4 days. You come out, you work one day. I've been a manager of a, you know, like this, where we're doing, where they should put photocopier? Business center. Our machine worked for 30 days. One day we break down. All the money we have made for 30 days, we will reply, well, that is not a business. I have no business in this business. This is working in vain. Laboring in vain. Labor for nothing. It's a curse. The enemy is exerting upon you. The enemy is cheating on you. When you have to be repairing and repairing and repairing your equipment, there is something wrong somewhere. If you don't have the faith to pray, go and sell the equipment and go and buy another one. Amen. I tell you, it's good to buy tear rubber. But it's good to buy tear rubber. I mean, pastor, when you buy Tukumbo, you see whatever you see, you buy. And whatever you are, you see. God help you. God help you that car is functioning, because it is a it's market. What was the English of Ojale? Hey, nice market. Somebody, I'm closing with this story. Praise God. You remember my master? 66. It was one or two of us had it in the whole of Ondo State. That car was beautiful. One day, an army major came. My mechanic, you know, they described that I had it. Each who bought his own car. And from the day he bought it, he has been spending money, and he has been spending money. And I said, this car is good. It's only once, it's a issue me. But the guy could not endure. He had to go and sell the car. Two of us bought it to Tukumbo, but me, I enjoyed my own for 11 years. He did not enjoy his own for more than 2 months. He had to sell it. It's good that we pray. It's good that we trust God. But God is interested in your business. God is interested in blessing you. God is interested in lifting you up. If anyone told that your work doesn't concern God, that's a lie. Just like he's interested in your academics, he's also interested in your career. So pick a career that makes sense. Pick a career that not will only make you happy, it will make you a blessing. Amen. Don't go and do yahoo yahoo. It's not a career. It's not a career. That career will take you to hell. But any other one that is acceptable legally is a good career. However, please, let me say this. There are careers that may not pick up immediately. But I found out over time that if you are persistent, what did I say? If you are persistent. If you are persistent. If you are persistent. If you are persistent. If you are persistent, you will see the good in that career. I will not forget my uncle, Jaoni. Many of you don't know him. You know him, my uncle. When we were young, he used to come to Lagos. He bought a Vespa. We call him, he had a very small stature, young Gadi. He was into tailoring. And the man will labor and labor and labor. Today, after over 40 years, he's a multi-millionaire. He started with that toy. Any of you that are doing tailoring and so on, you see, I feel sorry for you, because many of you don't have what it takes to stay with that business. For me, it's a waste of time. If you're not going to stick with it and make it a career. That's why I do encourage you. If you know you are not going to waste, because your time, my time is up. You want to chase me? Okay, carry. I said this is the last one. Take. Yeah, amen. I'm closing now. This is my final thoughts. Praise God. My final thoughts. Please. If you want to be a farmer, make sure that's what you're going to spend your whole life doing. Because half-heartedness doesn't take anybody anywhere. You cannot spend 5-10 years doing farming. You now say, I'm not doing, I'm going to look for work. It doesn't work that way. Are you with me? Every career has its ups
and downs. But it is those who see it through that become icons in that calling. Am I communicating? Those who see it through become icons. They are the ones that become the orgasm in that field. But you just do it, everybody says tailoring. No, not tailoring. After 3 years, I think I like, what is everybody is not doing again? I like fishing. Did you both not say it? A rolling stone gathers no moss. Be a man or a woman of one eye. If, like I said to all of you that I do, say, what I do, are you ready to spend your whole life with that? If you are not, speak for that which you are ready to spend all your life on. Because you have only one talent. But to give everybody one, that talent is 24 hours. That's all we all have. Don't use it anyhow. Don't spend it anyhow. Spend it wisely. Amen. Spend it wisely. It was in this city that I saw this boy that used to sell us electrical equipment. I used to go and buy electrical equipment. One guy in Arakale there. One small boy like this. Today the boy is a multimillionaire. I can't talk to him anyhow. He said, Pastor, it's because it's you. But I was there when he started. When he was small, when he started. When he was small with his organ, we were there. Even that small, all of them were all there. Today, I can't talk anyhow. But they stayed with it for years. That's what I'm trying to say. They stayed there for years. You know, just success does not just jump on people. I thank God for Isaac, but it may not be like that for all of us. That in one day you sow, that season you make 100 food, it doesn't work like that for everybody. But if you stick with it for the rest of your life, it will make sense at the end of the day. I commend you to the grace of God and to the word of his power that is able to make you wise and give you an inheritance among the saints in life. Father, I pray that your people will prosper. Whatever they want to do, I pray that you guide us. And you grant us the wisdom to do it. And the strength to be tenacious. And to be industrious. And to stick with it until, Lord, we see the light break in the name of Jesus. Bring glory to your name. Cause your face to shine upon us. Bless the work of our hands. Make our oxen to be strong for the work. Let your name be magnified. Cause we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.